Good evening. Welcome to the Salyer Report. Today is Thursday, January 24th, 2019. I'm Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. The third quarter wrap-up, Megacities, is out, the PDF and flipbook, and we're off to the printer, and so we expect to mail out to digital and print, hopefully by the end of the month. It's beautifully done. Ben Lazzardi has created a work of art. And it's a great overview of the changes happening in real estate. There's a real convergence with global securities market. I believe new technology is going to get integrated over the next decade, and that's going to dramatically lower energy costs, significant increases in real estate values. There are many other things going on, but there's no doubt you're seeing money amassed to buy real estate around the world. Part of that is to take advantage of vulture situations, but part of it is also because I think people know new energy technology is going to make a difference. The 2018 wrap-up is tonight is the last of the four audio presentations. We have several more pieces to write before the end of the month, but there is a wealth of materials up there already, along with the audios, and there'll be more coming by the end of the month, so I hope you take advantage of that. Financial markets, don't forget we have a widget at the bottom of the right page on the homepage, and once you log in, you can click and get all the market prices. Our hope is that between news, trends, and stories in financial markets, you have a one-stop shop to get all the news and prices at Salieri if you'd like. Hang with Stavoren from March 9th to March 16th, subscribers only. It's going to be Bridget Moucher, who leads the wellness series, Ulrich Garniger, who leads future science, Robert Duper, our fabulous videographer, and me. We're going to have two dinners, including at Cafe Max, just about my favorite restaurant in the world. And each morning we'll have sessions with deep diving the future science and wellness information, and then lots of activities in the afternoon. We're going to be touring Stavoren and the Friesland area. So there's a great group coming. It's a fabulous group. Two folks from the San Francisco Bay Area, someone from Switzerland, Hong Kong, Florida, and Ohio. If you want to meet incredibly brilliant, capable, and like-minded people, here's your chance. Nina Hein, who writes Food for the Soul, your culture scout, is also going to be joining us on the last night, Friday night, as is Jurin and Maddie von Straten, who have led the Secret Space Program 2014 and 2015 with Robert, and they're working on a new one, so you'll get the inside scoop if you're there. And then I'm excited. Nina and Robert and I are leaving the next day to go to Milan to do some filming for the 500th anniversary of Leonardo da Vinci's death. And then we come back and spend 2 days in Amsterdam to do filming for Rembrandt's 350th anniversary. It's a lot of great legacy and creativity to celebrate this year. I'm pretty excited about it. If you haven't read The Food for the Soul about Leonardo da Vinci, it's the last one Nina published. It's fabulous. And the eye candy is terrific. You have to see it. It's Food for the Soul. Our theme tonight is this is not a shutdown. This is a government reorganization. I talk some about this in Missing Money Tonight, and you really want to read the full presentation on that when it's done in either PDF, flipbook, and then hard copy as they roll out in February is our goal. There's major money and power shifting. If you haven't, I encouraged last week everyone to watch the Jeffrey Gundlach presentation. He's my vote for the top bond manager in the United States. Every January he does a market overview. His market overview this January, if you go to doubleline.com, their website, and click on webcast, you'll get his January webcast. And I strongly encourage you to watch it, particularly the last 20 minutes where he talks about the federal credit. And what was interesting is last week I was recommending to people they watch it. And on Sunday, he announced that he was going to shut down his Twitter account because looks like he'd been hacked or trolled. Wouldn't surprise me if they want to make sure he's not getting the message out of what his presentation said. Anyway, please watch it and you'll understand why I say this is not a government shutdown, it's a government reorganization. My guess is that the goal is to be changing lots of systems and other things behind the scenes while you're not bothered, while the civil service is in a corner. And it does mean that when they come back to work, they're going to be sufficiently, this is going to put them in a position of fear and weakness. So I think this bodes a real effort along with FASB 56, which I talk about extensively tonight, a real effort to tee up much more significant reengineering this year and next, as I've said for 2 years now. But remember, I think the shutdown is a Trojan horse. So this is a government reengineering that's happening behind the scenes, and it will clearly become more apparent again in the next year or two as the different aspects roll out. Some of the competition between the Republicans and Democrats is very real. If you look at their different constituencies, they've gotten very dug in on the issue of the wall. So they're both acting logically in response to the constituencies. But as far as I'm concerned, that situation and the standoff is very much engineered from behind the scenes. Remember, it's a lot easier to push through and do what you want secretly if you've got a major divide and conquer both distraction and stalemate going on. Money and markets, let's just look at the total return so far this year in the different markets. The U.S. dollar almost flat. It's up about 59 basis points. The long treasury now down 33 basis points for the year. The intermediate ETF, and I'm talking about the ETF, the intermediate treasury ETF down 12 basis points. Bond aggregate up 23 basis points. Junk now up 4.11%. I'm with Gunlatch. If you listen to his presentation, he says, take the money and run. Get out of junk. Equities, the shutdown's good for markets. It makes you wonder what's going on behind the scenes with, now that FASB 56 is in place, so it makes you wonder what's happening with the government accounts and the Exchange Stabilization Fund while things are shut down and people aren't watching. The S&P now up 5.45% for the year, so it's ahead. It's made up for all the losses last year, plus more. Home builders doing okay this year, up 7.72%, although reports from around the country that housing is weak. The European ETF up 4.67%, Germany up 4.34%, developed markets minus North America up 4.58%, large caps in China up 5.96%, and small caps up 4.4%, emerging markets up 6.63%. One possible explanation is everybody said, oh God, let's get out of sovereign bonds. Commodities now up 5.56% and gold and silver, gold flat, it's down 13 basis points and silver is down 1.1%. Oil is going strong, up 22%. Well, the World Economic Forum is underway and the folks who are attending are nervous and the folks who stayed away are even more nervous. There's a new report out from Oxfam. The world's 26 richest people now own as much as the poorest 50%. So there's no doubt about it that privilege is the most serious addiction at this point on the planet, and the profits of organized crime, run with the full complicity and support of government, have created an enormous concentration of wealth. So war and crime, and as I always say, crime that pays is crime that stays. There are a lot of talented entrepreneurs in that mix, and I don't think they understand exactly how all the winds got into their sails, and so they don't see the picture clearly. It's very interesting to watch the videotapes of Macron talking to people in the street because you realize he has no clue how the economy really works. It's scary, and he doesn't know he doesn't know. So I almost feel sorry for him. I don't know how you provide security for the top 1% in this kind of world. I don't think there's enough guns to protect them and their families from the anger that is brewing. Someone is clearly betting that the Five Eyes system plus 5G surveillance and mind control can do the trick, but I just am not sure how that's going to work. I just think the truth always sort of burps through. We're definitely seeing an Atlas Shrug kind of situation. We have a fair amount of global CEO resignations, and you wonder if this you know, the steady stream is going to continue. The reality is in the last 5 to 10 years, a lot of CEOs and business types have made big money, and managing the gulf between official reality and reality is becoming impossible. With the Nissan CEO has now been replaced while he sits in a Japanese jail, so they voted in a new CEO. You see the Huawei CFO under Canadian indictment for extradition in the U.S., and the reality is a lot of business leaders are sitting around and thinking, you know, I've made a lot. If I walk away now, I'm solid. If I stay in, you know, global competition that turns into using criminal indictments for the competition could wipe me out and destroy me. The reality is in those situations, I think they think they're going to be on their own. They won't be supported by the institutions. The Me Too movement is stalking leaders too. Don't put it past all sorts of covert operations to use Me Too kind of attacks to, you know, to destroy people, including innocent people. You know, you see the World Bank resignation. You wonder if it had to do with the Dartmouth scandal, but or somebody just saying, you know, I'm going to get out while the getting is good. But the reality is it looks a lot to me like a cut and run. It doesn't look like somebody's targeting people to drain the swamp. It looks like people are saying, you know, the liability is too great. It's not worth it. I'm going to take my money and run. Will Macron make it? The yellow vests are not going away. I keep getting information from people in France that that this is serious and continues. Macron just signed up the Aachen territory on the border of France and Germany with Merkel. It looks like many different steps. I put a link to a good article that describes the steps. But basically, Germany and France are stepping towards combining security forces and many other things, including an emphasis on learning each other's languages. You almost wonder if you're not going to end up with one country that's bilingual. It would be very interesting. But it seriously reflects the U.S. unraveling their global military role and the first tiny steps by the Germans and French to come up with an EU army that will put some serious clout behind the euro and whatever happens to the European Union. If they do manage to do that, after all, this is the 20th anniversary of the army of the euro. An army would attract bigger flows into the euro. There's no doubt about it. But you can see the weaker Macron gets, the more he will push these kinds of deals, which will weaken him further with the people of France. China announced that its growth has slowed. It's still at record-breaking highs, over 6%. You know, there's all sorts of intimation that those statistics aren't good either, but there's no doubt that their growth is dazzling compared to the developed world. I think the constant announcement China grows slows is to cover up the other statistics rolling out that China has become the world's number one trade partner. If you look at the number of countries that China is their number one trade partner, it's almost it's two or three times what the U.S. is, which clearly goes to a significant extent to sort of replace us in terms of trade power around the world. Venezuela, what a mess. Venezuela, in my opinion, has been the target of a U.S. hit for quite a while. And I remember a couple years ago when people were literally starving to death down there, I got online and tried to figure out how I could donate money to get money to people in Venezuela to buy food. And it, after several hours, I gave up. There was no way. It had clearly been blackballed by the U.S. intelligence agencies. It was phenomenal. The president has backed, or the Americans have backed a politician leading a coup, but the existing president, voted for by the Venezuelan people, has not resigned. So we now have two politicians claiming to be the president. And the problem is that too many members of the military are not playing along. They're backing the existing president. So you have a real mess. And now the big question is, will we move people out of the embassy? First, we said no, but then it made it look like, well, maybe they are CIA, not diplomats. Anyway, so it looks to me like the U.S. seems intent on simply destroying Venezuela until and unless they agree they're going to be a colony. And I hate to say it, this is kind of interference that Trump promised he would not do. But of course, the system depends on it. And it's part of continuing to control the oil markets, of course. The State of the Union is delayed until after the shutdown ends, so let's see what Trump has to say about that. I want to thank everybody for continually sending environmental information on the sort of peak everything and what's really going on. Trying to get a reliable map on the state of the environment is one I continue to struggle with. And a big somebody informed me that the earthquake USGS.gov was down and the European equivalent was down together this weekend, made you wonder, okay, well, maybe some of the rumors about the magnetic pole are true. Please take this warning very seriously. The IRS has just issued a new contract with Planeteer, the software firm. I think what this is using AI software to review filings to find opportunities to make money on clawing more money in on audits, even civil money or criminal money penalties. And this system, of course, is going to be designed, whether in the IRS or other enforcement bureaucracies, with a snitch system. And the problem is that the best defense is a good offense. If you're doing things with the U.S. federal government or with the U.S. economy that people aren't going to like, rather than let them organize and attack you, it's much better to just drown them out with civil money penalties, enforcement actions, and audits that take up a great amount of their time. I've seen in the last year IRS audits that would make your hair stand on end. They ask not only for every piece of correspondence from parties working for you, such as an attorney or CPA, but for all the drafts of that correspondence before it was final. So the logistics of finding and producing it was absolutely mind-boggling. Can you imagine going to your CPA and asking for the last couple years, not only of whatever it was they sent you, but all the drafts they'd prepared in the process of preparing the letter or the material they sent you? The impossibility of not making a mistake on such a compliance it's impossible. So the possibility of making a mistake is, I mean, it's bound to happen. And so the ramifications are absolutely terrifying, but the shadow work is off the charts. So just make sure your paperwork and your archiving is perfect. Please use a high integrity CPA to check your work and to file for you. This is not a place to save money. This is not a time to save money. The reality is an excellent CPA, if they're going through everything and making sure you're filing properly, shows an intent to comply. But of course, it doesn't relieve you from responsibility. So this is, please make sure your paperwork is impeccable. And remember, he who archives writes history. Martin Luther King and the King families and the Kennedy families have requested that investigations into the assassination of JFK, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, and Robert Kennedy be reopened. And the letter was signed not only by the families, but many luminaries, including Abby Rockefeller. I tweeted out, does Abby Rockefeller not understand the Rockefeller family can of worms that she just opened up? You know, she's either doesn't know or incredibly brave woman. James Douglas, who's the author of The Unspeakable, Why He Died and Why It Matters, he wrote and said as part of the letter, the organized killing of JFK, Malcolm, Martin, and RFK was a mortal attack on our democracy. Quote, we've been walking in the valley of the dead ever since. That is a very good description of life under the deep state since 1963. We've been walking in the valley of the dead ever since. A great point from one targeted individual, T.I., who said, well, wait a minute, what about the silent Holocaust that's going on now? Maybe we ought to focus our attention and stop that. The reality is it's not either or, it's and. If you look at the growth of the deep state, it follows out of those assassinations. And so looking at them helps you grapple with the deep state you're dealing with now. But I agree, we've got to do something about the silent Holocaust and all the global genocide now. Our hero this week is Greg Hunter. Greg Hunter and I got off to a rocky start. We used to fight all the time. It was fascinating. He kept thinking the dollar was going to collapse, and I kept saying, no, it's going to slow burn. But we've learned to get along, and I think one of the things that's helped a lot, now I always send him hard copies of the wrap-ups before the review, and he has a chance to get sit down and chew through it. Greg has phenomenal experience as a reporter. I've had the chance to sit down and have dinner with him and his incredible wife and over in North Carolina. And Dr. Skidmore joined me there for dinner with Greg before we had the great dinner lunch at the Biltmore for the subscribers in Asheville. Anyway, and but he has incredible experience as an investigative reporter for the big corporate news networks, and he knows that world inside out. He's got the whole picture. He did a new interview with Dr. Skidmore. It's up under Daily Salieri on the Salieri Report and News Trends and Stories, and I tweeted it out. It is a thing of beauty. If you haven't seen it, you got to watch it. There was a real effort, and I think it was CIA-run or some team working for them who did a article in The Nation to interview an NPR, throw the ball to Washington Post, and then CNN using the new Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez. And the whole game was to prove that the $20 trillion was just a plug and it's a joke as a matter of entertainment and nobody needs to worry about it. And it was absolutely brilliantly done. If you look at the really sort of Ellis Medavoy, as Rappaport described him, the Ellis Medavoy kind of brilliant PR trick at the very top, this was the A-team. They did an absolutely excellent job. They turned it into a total joke. And if you look at how much work and effort they took over a series of really a year to get it done, you know, it was brilliantly done. And Dr. Skidmore had never seen anything like that happen. And it's hard for me to describe to somebody who hasn't worked inside of Washington and see how that game is played. Hunter, however, has the training and the experience to absolutely nail it. And he did. And he wouldn't let it go. He just decided to tear the whole corporate media world inside and out. And he did a beautiful job. It was pretty amazing. Anyway, so take a look at it. I laughed so hard I cried. Let's Go to the Movies is a very interesting documentary, All the Queen's Horses, that was sent to me by a wonderful subscriber. It tells the story of a city controller of Dixon, Illinois, which has a population of 15,733 people. The controller stole $53 million from public funds over 20 years. That's $3,369 per resident. So can you imagine a family of four? It's the equivalent of $12,000, $13,000, $14,000. Unbelievable. Technically, it makes her the perpetrator of the largest public case of municipal fraud in American history, but I think there's a lot that's going to come out over the next 10 years. So I think Rita's going to lose her throne. But the documentary insists for 20 years, the town mayor, the town CPA, and the town bank, there was only one bank, claim they did not notice. It's a little bit like Madoff. There was only one bank account for the investment advisory business at JPMorgan Chase, but JPMorgan Chase didn't notice for all those years that Madoff never bought any securities. I don't think so. So, but this is a remarkable story that is a little metaphor for the whole country. And my guess is that if you look at how much money was captured when they auctioned off Rita's possessions, her horses and land and house, I think it came to about $7 million. My guess is Rita got the kickbacks, but I'll bet you know, the majority of that money went someplace else. And that someplace else is what managed to make sure that the town mayor, the CPA, and the bank didn't somehow notice over the period. So I think there's a much deeper story there. And Rita isn't talking. She's taking the full responsibility and going to prison because that's what she was set up to do. And that's why she got her $10 million cut. It was probably $10 million out of the $50. Anyway, so, but a tiny little metaphor for the whole country. There it is. And it's stunning. You ought to watch it because you have to understand that all the financial problems that we talk about on Wall Street or Washington are happening in every county, one county at a time. This is all starts and works bottom up, which is why ultimately the only change that can happen. It can happen is if we each learn how the money works around us and we start returning it to lawful use of at least the government money locally. I'm telling you, every dollar shows up locally and circulates locally, and the lawlessness is happening one county, 3,100 counties at a time in America. Our interview this night is my presentation, my overview presentation of the missing money. And there have been recent developments in the missing money that were really triggered by the pressure put on the by Dr. Skidmore's report and the inability of the DOD to complete an audit. And I think the final development was to take the book silent as a systemic matter, trying to find a policy mechanism to basically overrule all the constitutional and legislative laws related to managing the federal finances. So this is a very material event. It's a material event for investors. It's a material event for government workers. It's a material event for citizens. And it's a material event for global citizens because we are watching a conversion of the financial coup d'etat into a legal coup d'etat. So we're talking about a government run by a secret society secretly with all the money and a lot of the operation secret. It's just one big secret. And the official reality has become so far away from the reality that it is reaching Orwellian proportions, and I assure you that it's not over yet. The entire missing money section of the annual wrap-up is designed to give you a one-stop package to completely do your due diligence, whether you're an investor, a citizen, a government employee. I strongly recommend that you spend time with it. You can spend time. We've got about 75% of the web presentation done. There are three more big pieces to be done, some next week, some the following week, but it'll roll out by the end of the month. When we convert it into the final document in February, I strongly recommend you, if you haven't had time to watch the web presentation and digest the audios, I strongly recommend you spend time with it. And I'm one of the things I asked tonight is, would it help if we did some live Solari reports where we have an opportunity to do live Q&A and discussion on what this means? And I think it's incredibly important that each person who needs to do due diligence come to an understanding of what it means to them. Everybody's situation is different, both what it means to you and then what you're in a position or want to do. Anyway, my goal is to organize all the material in one place to make it easy for you to do that due diligence. I know you're all going to want to say, well, what should I do? The reality is the first thing we need to do is simply face what has happened and be prepared to sort of grapple with what it may mean to you or me. Anyway, I hope collecting it all in one place helps. Okay, ask Catherine. Somebody sent a lovely question as to whether I'm planning on being in Portland. Will I do a luncheon in Portland? I'd love to do a luncheon in Portland. So I'll take a look at the schedule and see what it works and be back in touch with you. We have a lot of great group in Portland. And I want to find out what's going on in Portland. I just posted an article about the governor and some of the politicians looking to pass legislation for state monitoring of newborns in the home. Excuse me. So I want to come out and talk to you people in Portland about what you're putting in the water. Anyway, thank you so much for that. That's a lovely offer, and I will follow up. Hi, Catherine. Thanks for what you do. I'm a longtime follower. I recently came into a lot of money due to a private placement that finally, after 7 years, has gone public. Wow. Congratulations. I know how that feels. Woo. That's a long time to work it through. Good for you for persisting. I would like your thoughts on who I should use institution-wise to dump a portion of this holding and begin to build a portfolio for retirement. I'm glad to use a smaller outfit that you might refer. Cheers and Happy New Year. Again, congratulations. This is a great time to be liquid. Recommending firms would constitute investment advice, and I'm under very strict orders from my attorney that I cannot do that on the Solari report. The one thing I would say is if you're in Canada, I would recommend that you read the full section in the 2018 annual wrap-up about the missing money and listen to the Jeffrey Gundlach webcast that he did in January that's up in the webcast section at his website at Double Line before you consider moving money from Canada to a U.S. custodian. I'm presuming from your note that you are that you're based in Canada. So I would be, I would think deeply about the issues related to do you want your, you know, what jurisdiction, what is the jurisdiction under which you want your money, and is it lawful, and what are the most lawful jurisdictions? You really need to be concerned about the law and jurisdictional risk. Hi, Catherine. I had just watched the China Hustle yesterday, but I did not see anything on the Solaire website on it. Wow! This is a movie on some of the stock scams done. I guess it's done by the guys who did the Enron. It looks like you were inspired to go from Vice to The Big Short and that, and then found the China Hustle. This is done by the guys who did the one on Enron. Anyway, I did not know of it. I have, I will watch it this weekend and report back. I agree that fraud in China is quite bad. It's one of the biggest obstacles they have to their efforts to create a global currency. And part of the problem is their growth has very much been fueled by hypermaterialism. I don't know how you get back to something that will, you know, the reality is financial liquidity requires lawfulness. And, you know, the greatest thing going for American secret societies is China's worse. But we're pretty bad and it's getting much worse here. So it's, I hate to say it, it's kind of a race to the bottom. Well, the 30-day mark has arrived with thousands of non-essential workers still waiting to return back to work. Does this open the door for a reduction in force to take place? I don't know. I've seen some of the indications, but before I answer that question, I'd like to talk to a U.S. labor lawyer. I think the goal is reengineering that's going on behind the scenes, as I said. Your next question, what is the difference of status of a career SEC appointee and a political appointee? An SEC is a senior member of the executive service, so they have civil service protections. A political appointee essentially serves at the pleasure of the president or the appointee. They're the president's appointee, so they're very easy to dismiss and move along. Are they both vulnerable to be placed on a furlough? I don't know the rules of what they're following. It's a lot easier to get rid of a political appointee or to furlough a political appointee, I would think, than an SES civil service person. But again, I wouldn't trust the press on this one. I'd want to talk to a U.S. labor lawyer. What is the difference between a reduction in force and layoff? A reduction in force, sometimes called a RIF, is basically you're out. A layoff, there's a possibility of being invited back, or the position is not emptied. The person's laid off, but the position still exists, and it may be filled again in the future, whereas reduction in force, you're talking about not just laying off the people, but ending the position. So you're talking about a real sort of organizational chart reorganization. Is this part of reengineering the transactional train tracks that Joseph and you were speaking about? Yes and no. So I think while the civil service is scared or at home or not getting paid and distracted, that you're watching a fair amount of corporate and deep state reengineering going on in terms of the systems and other things. And I have no idea what's going on with terms of moving money out. I notice, you know, the stock market is doing very well. So somebody thinks corporations and their earnings have a good future or a better future than they thought in December. It makes you wonder. Anyway, so I don't think we know yet what the answers to a lot of your questions are. We're going to have to wait and see. I got a great note from Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson in response to the update. He said, with respect to the national security state, I was recently amongst 60 of the national security elite, mostly Democrats, so there was a smattering of Republicans. And the chair of the group was a former USD for the Dems. And so that's a United States Secretary of Defense for the Democrats and a former national security advisor to a Democratic vice president. My question, after 6 hours of deliberating all manner of national security issues from increasing states' 150 account foreign policy to our nuclear weapons complex to the polluting nature of too much money for DOD was this. From the conversation we have just had, I must assume that all here take it for granted that a state of perpetual war is the inescapable price of the empire we have become. Is that true? Lots of deer in the headlight stares, but no real dissenters. God. The dependency of the U.S. national security state on war is frightening, and it can only lead to war. The question is, how do you have wars that don't that make you money and don't lose money? So we have the war on poverty and the war on terrorism, and for all I know, we're going to start having war on aliens. Anyway, I'm going to try and get Wilkerson back on the Salyer Report. He has done a brilliant job of teeing this issue up again and again and again over the last decade. He warned us before the election that both candidates were going to march into a machinery that was thoroughly dependent and hooked on war. It's part of the privilege addiction, and I quoted him extensively in my article, The Productivity Backlash, and he absolutely nailed it. Hi, Catherine. I wanted to make this short. It got long. My apologies. I recently accepted a job doing sales for a general contractor, and this is in response to the hurricane in Florida. I won't read the whole message. They wanted to know if they go to work for an honest contractor helping people get over the destruction to their homes or repair the destructions to their homes from the hurricane, will they be engaging in disaster capitalism? First of all, I think the more honest companies doing this work, the better. Would it be disaster capitalism? Absolutely not. If your company, if you or the company you're working for were part of the syndicate of the team that engineered it and had advanced knowledge, that would be disaster capitalism, but that's not what you're doing. So there's only one direction in a form, in a storm, and that's forward. So it doesn't matter whether their disaster was politically induced or induced by Mother Nature, they still need help cleaning up. And the more honest companies doing the work, the better. So have at it. And, you know, see if you can't help them heal, because what they've been through is not only horrible, but I think somewhere down deep inside the spiritual truth, you know, at the spiritual level, people know the truth, and it makes it that much harder to, you know, sort of grapple with. One of the things you mentioned that I did want to mention is there's indication of falsified body counts. You said one unit leader said the official body count was 12, but his team alone had 18. Again and again, in so many hurricanes, tornadoes, other of these events, fires, the actual death count appears to be significantly higher. If you look at what happened in Katrina, not just in New Orleans, but, you know, north of New Orleans, the indications of the actual death counts is significantly higher than what is said in public. And what I can't figure out is how this information is not going viral. How do they keep the silence on it? I would love to figure that out, because it's pretty scary. But it's still very hard for me to know what's truth, because I'm dealing with a variety of different people emailing. Now, my network's pretty high integrity and trustworthy, but you know, it's sort of anecdotal evidence here and there. Then a very long message about the super blood wolf moon, which was quite dramatic, and the road ahead. And so I thank you for the long message. The reality is the biggest war that we're dealing with is a spiritual battle. Will we invent a positive human future or allow ourselves to be talked into visions of the future and maps of reality created by others to serve their purpose? So I'm willing for things to work out. Carolyn Casey used to always say, we're willing. We're willing for things to work out. It can be well. We're willing for it to be well. So I feel responsible to maintain a vision of positive futures. Another thing Carolyn Casey used to say that I'd love is she used to say, our circumstances our circumstances are far too dire for the luxury of realism, and I believe that. So I think it's possible to have an accurate picture of reality, but I also think it's possible to maintain a positive future so that the current secret government by secret society plan, if it doesn't work out as they expect, we have a plan B and C and D. So anyway, I'm working on plan B, C, and D. And I intend to have a free and inspired life no matter. Okay, where does this fit into the Soleri blog? Is it about culture, spirituality, or religion? Then you describe some pretty gruesome things going on in Gaza. Ugh. The Israelis, I don't know when the Israelis completely destroyed their brand forever with just about everybody, but they're certainly working on it. Anyway, the book is The Right to Maim, about doing things that really maim people, including children. Anyway, I've ordered the book, and so I will put it in my pile of 300 books that I want to read immediately. Okay, then somebody sent me an ad from a very clever strategy by the Mexican airline Aeromexico on giving you a discount on your fare to Mexico based on the percentage of your DNA, which is Mexican, which for a lot of Americans is pretty high. And, it's a very clever strategy. It's very cute. I find it terrifying because, in fact, I know that if you give an American company your DNA, then they own it. So the continued normalization, as you say, the person who said it, the continued normalization of giving away of one's DNA to a private corporation, yes, it's absolutely terrifying. I wonder who's getting the DNA in this case, if they're giving it to the Mexican airline. It's so scary. You don't even know what to say. Okay, coming up next week, January 30th, we have our next wellness series, CBD or not CBD, with Dr. Robin Sicca, MD. That's going to be very interesting. I know CBD is of great interest to many people. I've been using it for the last year. I find it very I am trying to learn more about. February 7th, Harry Blaser's coming to Hickory Valley, and we're going to have a long talk about, for part two, our deep state and the reengineering of America, the Kennedy assassination and cover-up. Then February 14th, the emerging multipolar world with Saker. He's got a lot to say. So this is going to be some great, great deep discussions of the geopolitics. So, ladies and gentlemen, until next week when Bridget Mouche leads the wellness series, please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, then you need to start one. Good night and good luck.